Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party, a book. We're going to kick off the show very shortly. I just got to find... Here we go. Florida 1. We're covering the Florida voting, which takes place on Tuesday. And
hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Bartender, champagne. I dedicate this opening tune to the students of St. Thomas Aquinas College in California. They did a wonderful presentation and parade for life. Beautiful. You give me hope.
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the
about 2 weeks since our last broadcast, and a lot has happened in those 2 weeks. The Chinese are getting ready to drill for oil off of Florida, and they'll probably send their new Blue Water Navy into Havana to protect the oil rigs that the Americans may squawk about. How sad. We're a country going backwards, and if you don't think so, well, that's because you never knew forwards. I'm watching all of the media prepare the way of Mittens Romney. And even Fox, I can't believe it. There has to be a general plan in Fox where everybody is on message. Because every show gives Newt Gingrich the raspberries. Some do it subtly, like O'Reilly, and others do it a hard hammer, like Geraldo Rivera, the CNN plant. Yeah, if he was a flower, he'd be a CNN plant. So I'm going to give you some highlights and some blogs that I did, and see if we can... break out from under the yoke of the Royal Republicans and the Democamos. More tea, anybody? I see in the news this morning that Rick Santorum had to break off his Florida engagement and head home to Pennsylvania because his little daughter, I think she has Down syndrome. She's 3 1/2. Her name is Bella. And she, and I think, ended up on the critical list because she's very vulnerable to even a cold. So, and I got to say, the Santorums appear to be a real great religious family, and I wish them well. And to have Rick Santorum as president would not be bad for the country. As a matter of fact, we might get some of our morals back. I must tell you that I am coming out of the chute for Newt. And the reason that I'm voting for Newt, I want to see him mop the floor with Obama. And my acronym is ABO, A-B-O, anybody but Obama. I would vote for a lamb chop before I would vote for this guy who hates America more than Joseph Stalin. So let me give you some highlights of some of the blogs that I've sent out and some of the things that I've observed in the last 2 weeks. So hang in there a second. This blog I did on the 27th of January. It's called The Get Newt Show. You can scout the networks this morning and you can confirm my theory that all the networks are determined to destroy Newt, starting with Fox. The leadoff hit at 8 a.m. was the token Latino that came over from Marine-killing NBC, Geraldo, the betrayer of Elian Gonzalez, pretending not to be a Grey Poupon communist. Even Steve Ducey was hacking off the limbs of Newt. The handwriting was on the wall when George Soros ordered Fox to smother Glenn Beck, who warned us about Occupy America and take in communist hogwash. Fox is a more subtle assassin, but the goal is obvious, as the smirk on O'Reilly's puss. I then turned to Anus in the Morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, that's Howard Stern in a cowboy hat. He is throwing Santorum under the buckboard, and Chrome Dome a Schmoo Baby, a Bernie McJerk, is destroying the Arizona governor for pointing her finger at Obama bin Laden and invading Hillary's space like Rick Lazio was destroyed for doing. Imus did not come over to Fox. NBC came over to Fox. Imus is just the NBC succubus. You might as well call his show the John Kerry Show. Let us not forget the Juan Williams and the race shoe. That is two decks of race cards and his Get Gingrich for PBS question. That is what you have on Fox today. NBC, CNN, and PBS leftovers. It gets worse, but that is to be expected. NBC under Joe Scarborough, unfair. I used to be an American. And Comrade Brzezinski, who gave Poland back to Russia under the Obama Beds for Reds program, were playing Romney clips showing Gingrich waiting to respond to the five-minute Obama plug. Then off to the Communist News Network, where it's hard to find an American, which brings me to the person of interest, Wolf Blitzer Rasvanjani, the goalie for the Party of Death. His instructions from the Politburo was keep the debate off Obama. Ask time-consuming questions and don't give Gingrich a chance to fight back. Avenge John King. Okay, I watched that Romney charade last night and he was given plenty of cover while they shot Gingrich with a stun gun. Romney was given all the time to lecture Gingrich with a pause for applause and Newt was given the quick shuffle with no pause for applause. It was not as bad as the NBC farce where the audience was muzzled under orders from the Obama KGB. What you are witnessing is wresting control of the Republican Party from the Tea Party, which must be brought back into line and under the supervision of all the royal repuppies whose hidden names and faces you have not seen in over a year. because they're all laying low. Last night's debate was won by Rick Santorum, who stayed on message, while El Lobo Blitzer entertained the demo camos in the White House. Once again, we are being brainwashed to believe not in the American way, but in the fact that only rich people can be president. Think about this. Every time Newt accused Romney of dirty ads, Romney simply said, "I have no control over those ads." Do you believe that? Do you want a president who answers thus? When Newt was accused of taking a $1 million fee from Freddie Mac, he was bad. But when it became public knowledge that Romney was heavily invested in Freddie Mac, we were told his millions are in a blind trust. Okay, I'll take 2 Brooklyn Bridges. Are you kidding me? A blind trust that does not whisper? 10 years later, he calls the blind trust, "How am I doing? Oh, you're broke. Didn't the seeing eye dog call you?" The PAC groups are all directed by Romney, and he knows every word of every lie. The Arabs have a saying, "The fingers are different, but the hand is the same." He could stop any bad ad in a millisecond. The Palestinian Republican who asked, "What are you going to do for Palestine?" I would have answered, "I'm going to save Palestine before Ahmadinejad wipes it out." Don't you realize when Israel is nuked, Palestine is also? Do you believe that Iran's nukes will somehow just hit Israel? What, are you nuts? My biggest disappointment is in Fox. I can only presume that Gingrich was marked for death from day one. Hang in there, boys and girls. I can only presume that Gingrich was marked for death from day one. First in casual asides and butterfly jabs, but it grew like a mole on Geraldo's neck. Last night, the Latino section asked, "Which Latinos would you pick for your cabinet?" Not one mentioned Elian Gonzalez, who was ripped away from the Cuban community in Florida as a Clinton gift for Fidel Castro. Geraldo, looking like Chuck Schumer, said a boy belongs with his father until he is completely brainwashed. Well, Elian is a big boy now, and I hope he comes home and pitches for Los Mets, and we can deprogram him and feed him in the land where he won't be watched by the Eric Holder American guns for 41,000 dead Mexicans and give us the drugs of police. The most sickening politicians and media pimps are the noncommittal ones who will jump on the winner and say, "I was with you from the beginning." Newt, you have to sharpen your battle axe and swing, baby, swing. The people are looking for an Obama crusher. Speak like you mean it, act like you can do it better than anyone, and the only thing that matters to real Americans is who can polish off Obama. We can't afford 4 more years of communism after Romney McCain loses again. Special thanks to Sarah Palin, Jan Brewer, Rush, and Michael Reagan for standing with Newt and Arizona. And don't let the rich guys from either party sell us out. Vote American. Wake up, American misinformed sheep, and stop following the media Judas goat. Get out of the media pen. Strike for your country while you still have one. Spirit of America Party. And I just want to mention one thing about Jeb Bush, who is coming out for Romney. And Jeb Bush went into hiding when the Clintonistas rode into Miami and kidnapped Elian Gonzalez for future Castro favors. And the Cuban community said about Jeb Bush, he swallowed his tongue. He will always do whatever way the wind blew. Yeah, we don't need Jeb Bush's. We need Newt Romney's and Rick Santorum's. looking for a picture of Henry Waxman to send out on a blog, and I couldn't find one, but I did find a good-looking rat, and I put it up there instead. And my headline is, Viet Cong Grease Mouse, Henry Waxman Attacks the Koch Brothers. And the reason for the rat attack is because Henry Waxman was sitting on the board of directors at one of those committee hearings that we all pay for, and the chairman of the committee had let Henry Waxman talk, or let somebody talk, and then Henry Waxman jumped in without claiming any time, and he accused the Koch brothers of undermining the country. And the chairman got real upset. And, oh yeah, Henry Waxman wanted to subpoena the Koch brothers. And so I got a picture of the rat saying, I will not yield my time. I am still holding baseball hearings. See, Henry Waxman was in charge. He went after big baseball. He wanted a windfall profits tax on big baseball. He wants people that don't have seats in the stadium to pay for them anyway. Yeah, and so he went after Roger Clemens. You remember Henry Waxman, who looks like Oil Can Harry, the archenemy of Mighty Mouse. You know, he's the guy that ties up Tess Trueheart in front of the buzzsaw. Yeah, unbelievable. Henry Waxman, man. When you see Henry Waxman, run. Hide your children. Yeah. You know what? There was a story about a little girl was playing in the front yard during the Democratic Convention, and she said, Mommy, there's some Democrats coming down the street. And the mother said, child, you better come in the house. She goes, oh, it's Henry Waxman. He said, bring the dog in, too. So he's charging, he went after the baseball hearings, and he charged Roger Clemens with stealing second base. One thing you should know about Henry, he's a flag burner. And guess what? He votes to kill kids. Isn't he nice, nice Henry? Yeah, give me a break. Somebody sent me an African Kenyan certificate of birth, and they have Obama sitting in a diaper, sitting on a bed of straw, playing with a zebra. A toy zebra, and it's really funny. Gave me a chuckle. Hang in there. Here's a little ditty I did on the 26th. I took the lyrics from Tonight, because this is the night of the debate, and tonight the minutes seem like hours. The hours go so slowly. And still the sky is light. O moon, grow bright, and make this endless day endless night. And then I put in my own lyrics. A debate tonight. There's gonna be a fight. Tonight Mitt Romney stands or falls. Tonight, tonight, the Vikings gonna fight. He has to win and cut off Romney's bells. Bells doesn't rhyme with falls. I wonder what rhymes with falls. Obama ruined the nation. He is no longer a sensation. He beats up women in Arizona. He can't pay the bill. Oil he won't drill. He raises taxes. It's time to send him a Homer. Yeah. And what else do I say here? Let's see. I think Romney came away from South Carolina in shock. It was supposed to be three of a kind. Santorum took the Iowa count back. Gingrich hit a home run on a bad pitch from CNN. Don't forget Juan Williams, under orders from Fox, played the down-and-dirty race card that blackfired. NBC silenced the audience to give Obama a night's rest after golf. Pray for us, Saint Tim Tebow. Let us hope we get a good debate tonight. I root for Newt. Let the best man shine through. Newt didn't do good. He let the Romney control the situation, and Romney. There was snow coming down when Romney was speaking. But Newt should have done better than he did. But Those are the fortunes of war. A horse, a horse. My kingdom for a horse. Return with me now to the age of innocence. Of innocence. No drugs, no pill. No 1,200,000 dead American babies a year. So we now say my TV of fights back. State of the Union speech in full. President Barack Obama laid out a vision for strengthening the U.S. the Soviet economy on Tuesday. In an election year, State of the Union BS message, and here's the speech in full with my comments. I don't know if you can take all of this, but I'll give you some of it. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans, delete Americans, stop at fellow bribe takers. As you know, I single-handedly won the war against my party's terrorism. See me in my SEAL costume. Last month, I went to Andrews Air Force Base and welcomed home some of the last troops to serve in Iraq. We offered a final proud salute to the colors. Was your hand over your crotch as usual? Yeah. And this is my interpretation. This war is over. I saved the world. And not on my watch, one American died today. I think it was six. Now I must fake patriotism to get over on the suckers. I will replace the Great Seal with my Soros logo. And then the president says, we gather tonight knowing that this generation of heroes, who we're going to pull the medical benefits rug out from under, has made the United States safer and more respected around the world, only by the Muslim Brotherhood until they get here to cut your stinking American throats. And then Obama says, for the first time in 9 years, there are no Americans fighting in Iraq. But we arrested three Americans at the airport, and they're rotting in jail in Fort Lewis, Washington, hidden by the press at my command. They are accused of the murder of an Afghani. One American is Michael Wagnon II. Ask his wife and two kids for a family photo. And then Obama goes on to lie. For the first time in 2 decades, Osama bin Laden is not a threat to this country. I took him out wearing my John Wayne outfit. Most of Al-Qaeda's top lieutenants have been defeated. And then I commented, thanks to me, I take full credit, but I refuse to mention 22 dead Navy SEALs betrayed in an ambush. quickly buried in the media. And they too were from SEAL Team 6, but I take no blame. I only take credit. My balance sheet is lopsided. The Taliban's momentum has been broken, and some troops in Afghanistan have begun to come home, mostly over the border, bringing in the Stinger missiles missing from Libya. Taliban coming in, Eric Holder running guns out. Eric will not take credit for the murder of 41,000 Mexicans. It's not about illegal invaders. It's about keeping the drug routes open. And then Obama goes on to say, these achievements are a testament to the courage, selflessness, and teamwork of America's armed forces, now that they have two hands tied behind their back. And then I responded, tonight I used the military, which I planned to shred, to con the useless of A. I pull on their patriotic heartstrings and play them like a seized fiddle. And then Obama says, at a time when too many of our institutions have let us down, they exceed all expectations. Do I get my sword now? I abuse these suckers well. And then Obama goes on to say, they're not consumed with personal ambition, like me and my party of flag burners and baby killers. Stand and applaud me, everybody. They don't obsess over the differences. They focus on the mission at hand. They work together, like me, George Soros, and the Soviet, the Supreme. So hang in there, and we'll give you some more. Let's see here. Like me, George Soros, and the Soviet. Hey, Putin, you want some more British and nuclear missile serial numbers? Sorry, Poland, you have to go back to Mother Russia. Take the Czechs and Hungarians with you. Imagine what we could do if we followed their example. And then I respond, thinking for Obama, we could divide this nation by race, religion, gender, and legal tender. Think about the America within our reach, Obama says. We can help the Iranians build bases in Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Ecuador. If Eric Holder keeps killing Mexicans, we can overthrow that government too. Obama goes on to say, a country that leads the world in educating its people in how to have abortions, practice perversity, and deal with STDs, destroy God, country, individual freedom, and worship drugs. Obama says, an America that attracts a new generation of high-tech manufacturing and high-paying jobs. And I respond, one day I asked, where did all the Indians come from in American medicine? I was told they were learning here, and then they would go home to help the poor of India. They never went home. Would you? Beware heartstring pullers who eat your heart out. A future where we are in control of our own energy, as long as it is not what we already have, like oil, and our security and prosperity, as long as we have the Garmin coordinates of your 401k, which belongs to the government, you can hold on to it as long as you don't cash it in. And then Obama says, aren't so tied to unstable parts of the world. We are the unstable part of the world. Vote one more term for President Unstable, and he'll give you an economy built to last 15 minutes, where hard work pays off and responsibility is rewarded, with more taxes than you realize. Sit down and make a list of all the taxes you pay, and when you get to the sales tax on luxuries like toilet paper, give me a call and I'll give you 5 more taxes you overlooked. We, you, can do this. I know we, you, can, because you've done it before. At the end of World War II, when another generation of heroes that I despise returned home from combat, they built the strongest economy and middle class the world has ever known, before affirmative action. My grandfather, a veteran of Patton's Army, got the chance to go to college on the GI Bill. My grandmother, who worked on a bomber assembly line, was part of a workforce that turned out the best products on earth. Yeah, they carried their own load. No student today qualifies for the GI Bill unless he's a GI. The two of them shared the optimism of a nation that had triumphed over a depression and fascism. Where was the fascism? The fascism is here now. They fought and worked their way out of it, and the government got a smaller share. They understood they were part of something larger, and they were contributing to a story of success that every American had a chance to share. The basic American promise that if you worked hard, you could do well to raise a family, own a home, send your kids to college, and put a little away for retirement. How about a lot for retirement? How about the Social Security money you stole and lent to Brazil to drill oil for China after you shut down the Gulf Coast economy, comrade? The defining issue of our time is how to keep the promise alive. To go communist? No challenge is more urgent than the subjugation of the American swine. No debate is more important. Keep Gingrich away from me. If he's the candidate, the debate is off. Give me Mittens Romney. He's the only one that can lay a glove on me. We can either settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well. They are called inside traders / traitors. While a growing number of Americans barely get by, if I have my way, let them eat cake. Or we can restore an economy where everyone gets a fair shot, coveting thy neighbor's goods. Everyone does their fair share except the takers, and everyone plays by the same set of rules. The list will be longer than the health care plan. A toll booth in every driveway, air to be taxed by the gasp. What's at stake are not democratic values, democamo or republican values, but American pot values, prisoners of taxes. We have to reclaim them. You have to pay them. Let's remember how we got here. I sucked you all in with hope and change. Long before the recession, jobs and manufacturing began leaving our shores. With my EPA, more will be gone tomorrow. What? We don't wipe out the EPA. If we don't wipe out the EPA, we can get them. Oh, what we don't wipe out with the EPA, we will get them with OSHA and thug unions. Technology made business more efficient, but also made some jobs obsolete. What a crock. Folks at the top saw their incomes rise like never before, especially the inside traders in the House and the Senate, who took over mob business, gambling, drugs, and prostitution in the House and the Senate. That's where the big hookers are. Stand up and give yourselves a hand, boys. But most hardworking Americans struggled with costs that were growing, paychecks that weren't, and personal debt that kept piling up. And you did nothing to stop it but give speeches like they were Academy Awards, saying, "The envelope, please." And you know what? That's all the government can do. Is they're going after gambling now. They want casinos in every state because they want the revenue. They don't care how many people get wiped out gambling. They don't care how many gambling addictions there are. They want the revenue. They don't care about you. And they're going to do the same thing with drugs. They want the drug revenue. They see all that untaxable heroin money not being taxed. And they're not getting their cut, and that's what they want more than anything. They want their cut, and they don't care how many years you're going to live with the Jones and rob your family and rob your next-door neighbors to keep up with the Joneses. They don't care as long as they get that tax money, because they're junkies too. They're tax junkies. In 2008, the House of Cards collapsed way before 2008. We learned that mortgages had been sold to people who couldn't afford or understand them. And who did that? The Party of Death, the Democrats. The Party of Death promised the poor a communist utopia for votes. Banks had made huge bets and bonuses with the people's money. How would you like to be a banker and you look up from your desk and Jesse Jackson, the DNC bagman, tells you to give loans that you would not give because of no collateral or ability to pay back, and Jesse says, "If you refuse to do as I say, tomorrow you will have 1,000 demonstrators outside your bank, and the Democamo Party will sick federal pit bull investigators on you, calling you a racist. So the bank said, no problem, give them what they want, and we will give the unpaid bill back to the scene of the crime. And that's what happened. The party of death bought votes and made you pay for them. Regulators had looked the other way. Who do you think the regulators worked for? Or didn't have the authority to stop the bad behavior caused by the Democamo party. And that's who did us in with Freddie and Fannie. It was wrong, it was irresponsible, and it plunged our economy into a crisis that put millions out of work, saddled us with more debt, and left innocent, hard-working Americans holding the bag. Yes, it did, and you deflected the blame to everyone but your party. In the 6 months before I took office, in my white gown, we lost nearly 4 million jobs, and we lost another 4 million before our policies were in full effect. And if you want, you can get a free colonoscopy while I make this speech. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. I would not buy a stolen bicycle from this guy. Those are the facts. Those are the numbers. Prove them. But so are these. In the last 22 months, business has created more than 3 million jobs. But only one man has shown for work. He is gone from the make-believe, the 10 million he saved. Does that include Solyndra? And the other Solyndras we don't even know about. Does that include the Boeing plant in Wichita? Does that include the GE X-ray plant your big money friend sold to China? Last year, they created the most jobs since 2005. 2 jobs is more than 2005, all of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. American manufacturers are hiring again. Yeah, they're hiring bodyguards. Creating jobs for the first time since the late 1990s. If America had to go to war tomorrow, they would have to wait 30 days for parts to come from China. When Hussein called for an Iranian embargo, that's Hussein Obama. Got to be careful which Hussein. You're not supposed to say Hussein. When he called for the Iranian embargo, no American goods. Ahmadinejad John called Beijing and ordered everything marked made in the USA, including the good light bulbs and banned in the USA. Unbelievable. I can't believe what's going on in my own country. Together, we agreed to cut the deficit by more than $2 trillion over 10 years. While we bang your ass $1 trillion tomorrow. Yeah. We don't want to hear 10 years. We want now. And we put in place new rules to hold Wall Street accountable so a crisis like this can never happen again. Has anybody got any IPO tips for the Congress? Any inside information for the Congress today? Don't forget, the market closes at 4. Get your IPO inside trader tips in. Yeah. And now that we've put in place new rules to hold Wall Street accountable so this crisis never happens again, the House and the Senate from now on will only steal half of what it's been stealing. The state of our union, that's the Soviet Union, is getting stronger, and we've come too far to turn back now. As long as I'm president, God, inshallah, just November, please God, don't let them hurt us anymore. I will work with anyone in this chamber to build on this momentum. Momentum? I'm going down to I'm not going to say it. To shoot. Faster than a speeding bullet. Please, God, no momentum. But I intend to fight obstruction with action. I will oppose any effort to return to the very same policies that brought on this economic crisis in the first place. Along with destroying the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, flags will be removed from all public schools, and anybody who says the Pledge of Allegiance will be shot. Anyone in our way will be taken off the air, like Glenn Beck, Steve Malzberg, Aaron Klein, Pope Benedict, the Evangelicals, and Baptists, We own NBC. We can do that. Fox is starting to get the message. They can be swayed. They can be swayed. And that's not S-U-E-D-E. No, we will not go back to an economy weakened by outsourcing. 700,000 Chinese are making iPods in China, 14 hours a day. Did you ever see the pile of jeans that these girls, Chinese girls, are making and can't leave until the pile upon pile upon pile gets finished? Did you ever see their pictures on the pile line as they have clothespins holding up their eyelids so they stay awake? You never saw that. You can't believe it. You know why you can't believe it? Because you're watching too much American Idol. And one day, six Chinese are going to move in with you and you're not even going to be able. There'll be no door with hinges. Yeah, you're in trouble, man. You're up to fat lady's burka and you don't even know it. So, how about lower interest rates to what Christopher Dodd gets instead of giving us Dodd-Franks to eat? How about you ask GE to pay taxes instead of champagne contributions to the party of death? The blueprint begins with American manufacturing, if we can find them. On the day I took office, our auto industry was on the verge of collapse. Some even said we should let it die with a million jobs at stake. I refused to let it happen. In exchange for help, we demanded responsibility. We got workers and automakers to settle their differences. We got the industry to retool and restructure. And you want to know the truth? We stole money from preferred stockholders and bondholders and bought union votes with it. And today the vote gets 83 miles to the explosion, and the dealers don't want to see one on the showroom floor. Yeah. Today, General Motors is back on top of the world's number one automaker and bomb maker. Yeah, Chrysler has grown faster in the U.S. than any major company. We sold that to the Italians. And next time you have a Bud, the profits go back to Belgium. Yeah, Ford is investing billions in U.S. plants and factories, and together the entire industry added nearly 160,000 jobs. Don't take credit for Ford. Ford told you to take a walk. They did not want to. They didn't want a stolen Social Security sweat money. Should I continue? Are you overwhelmed? We bet on American workers. We bet on American ingenuity. And tonight, the American auto industry is back in China. 500,000 to 700,000 Apple employees. They're making apples that you can drive. What happened in Detroit can happen in other industries. We can rape your town, too. Yeah, we can do to other industries. It can happen in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Raleigh. We can't bring back every job that left our shores, besides the oil rigs are promised to Brazil. But right now it's getting more expensive to do business in places like China. Yeah, soon they'll be on par with us. They just went from $2 a week to $4 a week. We're coming down to meet them. But right now, it's getting more expensive to do business in places like China. Meanwhile, America is more productive. A few weeks ago, the CEO of MasterLock told me that it now makes business sense for him to bring jobs back home. Today, for the first time in 15 years, MasterLock's unionized plant in Milwaukee is running at full capacity. Lock sales are mostly to sheriffs, are due mostly to sheriffs closing factories, homes, and Catholic churches. And so we have a huge opportunity at this moment to bring manufacturing back. Are you kidding me? But we have to seize it. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like Exxon, right? Yeah. Tonight, my message to business leaders is simple. Ask yourselves what you can do to bring jobs back to your country, and your country will do everything we can to help you succeed, because your money is our money. Yeah, don't forget to send me my cut. You know the usual route, is champagne contributions, war chests that never go to war, but leave with the crooks when they're forced to retire, tax-free. Ask the flag-burning torch Torricelli how much of the $5 million he didn't give Frank Loudmouthburg, the New Jersey vampire. Yeah, it's an example of a war chest that didn't go to war. We're doing fine, folks. Keep up with me. We should start with our tax code. Right now, companies get tax breaks for moving jobs and profits overseas. Yeah, it's called survival. Meanwhile, companies that chose to stay in America get hit with one of the highest tax rates in the world. It makes no sense, and everyone knows it. Like Exxon, a favorite target of the Schumer communists, they always go after big oil. It's the old divide-and-conquer song they sing so well. Every one of those politicians owns shares of Exxon. Every American who has a 401k owns a piece of Exxon. Exxon is here in the USA. They used to be headquartered in New York, but Chuck Schumer chased them to Virginia, like he chased the USS Normandy to Virginia. He closed the home port on Staten Island and sang I Love New York on 911. Had the Normandy been in New York waters on 911, the outcome of 911 might have been different. How different? Google the USS Vincennes. Watch the demo commos. They are the masters of blame and deflect. So let's change it. First, if you're a business that wants to outsource jobs, you shouldn't get a tax deduction for doing it. Naughty, naughty. That money should be used to cover moving expenses for companies like Masterlot that decide to bring jobs home. Now we're going to have to pay the freight. Second, no American company should be able to avoid paying its fair share of back-breaking taxes by moving jobs and profits overseas. From now on, every multinational company should have to pay a basic minimum tax, and every penny should go towards lowering taxes for companies that chose to stay here and hire here. Well, then you're going to have to take all of GE's profits and give it to Exxon. You're going to have to take all of Hollywood's movies made overseas and give it to Exxon. Yeah. Obama reminds me of the white-suited Don in The Godfather, walking into a grocery store, opening the register, sticking his hand in, taking the big money, saying, I only want to wet my beak a little. And by the way, my useless nephew here, this government employee on a committee that's doing nothing, you have to give him a job and get rid of the good worker. Yeah, if you're an American manufacturer, you should get a bigger tax cut, he says. If you're a high-tech manufacturer, we should double the tax deduction. This guy is running around buying votes with taxpayer money, and you get for making products here. This is the Democrat Party that drove all the business overseas using their weapon of mass destruction, the EPA. The Kaiser Steel plant in California is now in China. And Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein all helped the Chinese unbolt it. And Henry Waxman, Mr. Baseball. My message is simple. It's time to stop rewarding business that ships jobs overseas. And we should crush more American business here, too, so we can give China and Russia an opportunity to demonstrate, have tank showrooms. Yeah, send me those tax reforms. I'll sign them after the basketball game, along with death warrants of any GI who fights back. Did I tell you I will have a bigger military than the U.S. military when I get finished? Yes, we're making it easier for American business to sell products all over the world. 2 years ago, I set a goal of doubling U.S. exports over 5 years. You know who else used to have 5-year plans? Joseph Stalin. First, he would give the farmers 5 years to produce more food than they could eat, and then he killed them if they failed. Yeah. With the bipartisan trade agreements I signed into law, the first thing that the next Republican president has to buy to bring to work is a giant shredder and start shredding those bipartisan trade agreements. Anything that has Obama's name on it has to go into the shredder. We are on track and start with the Obamacare 2,700-page booklet. The Dead Sea Scrolls don't have 2,700 pages. I set a goal of doubling U.S. exports over 5 years with the bipartisan trade agreements I signed into law. We're on a track to meet that goal ahead of schedule. Soon there will be millions of new customers for American goods in Panama, Colombia, and South Carolina. And we'll be opening businesses in Cuba, Venezuela, and giving them to the governments of Cuba and Venezuela. Soon there will be new cars on the streets of Seoul imported from Detroit and Toledo and Chicago. Yeah, and we're all going to have chocolate pudding. Is that Jimmy Carter's Panama? One of the 45 goals of the Communist Party read into the congressional record in 1962? Yes, Jimmy gave away the Panama Canal in the interest of peace, comrade. There's Jimmy. He's still out there hurting America. Okay, I'm going to give you a little break for a tune, and then we'll come back and we'll read some more. Welcome back to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. You're all under arrest. If Obama has his way, there'll be trucks pulling up in front of your house. He's evil. He's an evil person. Did you hear him sing? Did you hear him do the Al Green imitation? He was very good. You know what he should do? Maybe he's missing the boat. Maybe he's in the wrong profession. Maybe he should be singing with the OJs. Take that night train to Georgia. Yeah, give me a break. What we need to do, what we don't realize, is that we're outnumbered. You got two brainwashed generations that have voting power today. And they're not voting for anybody but Obama. And I'll tell you why. Because he's good looking. And that's why they're voting for him. He's good looking. And that's all they want to know. Remember the girl that had the Obama t-shirt? I want to be Obama's mama. That's it, man. Nobody's going to vote for Gingrich. He's fat. He's gray-haired. Right? They're not going to vote for Ron Paul. You know, especially if he shows up with a pacemaker. Yeah, but you know what? Everybody they said was too old to last a term of office has lasted the term of office that never got elected because they couldn't last the term of office. Ronald Reagan is a, right? They used to make, you know what they used to do? What the left used to do? The communists? See, I don't believe in the word liberal. I don't believe in the word progressive. These are communists. Let's call them what they are. You call a spade a spade. The big joke about Ronald Reagan's defense policy was he was going to put the wagons in a circle. And all of the Grey Poupon communists, the elite, the aloof ones, all thought that was funny. And speaking of aloof, I have to say that Dave Miller does not convince me that he's a conservative. And Dave Miller is a political opportunist comedian. He saw all the competition on the other side, and he changed his modus operandi. You can't be a pro-choice and a conservative. You cannot make fun of dead babies and call it comedy. And he's O'Reilly's fair-haired boy. O'Reilly is bringing him on gradually. We're being inoculated with... it's Dennis Miller, I'm sorry. Dennis Miller. Dennis the Menace. Yeah, and him and O'Reilly go camping on weekends, and they only bring one sleeping bag. It's not true. It's only a rumor, and I'm just repeating it. So go back to President. We'll go back to who's going where. Don't underestimate the party of death. They're very strong. They have all the divide and conquer hostages, and it's going to be a very close election. And we need the swing votes. We need the guys that can swing and the girls that can swing. they got to swing over to the party of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A bartender, a champagne.
What good is music? What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Back into the Obama State of the Union, a message. Let's see where we are left off with Barack Hussein Obama. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. I will go anywhere in the world to open new markets for American products. I don't think so. And I will not stand by when our competitors don't play by the rules. Oh, yes, you'll send Orrin Hatch. Come on, you guys. Play fair. We've brought trade cases against China at nearly twice the rate of the last administration, and it's made a big difference. You know what? I don't know what it did. Over 1,000 Americans are working today because of our stopping a surge in Chinese tires. Yeah, oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. The horse is out of the barn, and they collapsed the barn. I must protect Pornowood. I am going to play a Navy SEAL in the upcoming Rambo-Bama series after these American jerks throw me out of office. Michael Moore is going to play a real SEAL or a walrus. Today I'm announcing the creation of the Trade Enforcement Unit. Yes, we'll close some more small mom-and-pops and we'll create another agency. Agency! Another agency, waste of eat-em-up taxes. And they will be charged with investigating unfair trade practices in countries like China. China is coming here. They're going to build factories in Cuba. They're going to build factories in Nicaragua. They're going to build factories in Mexico. You jerk. Okay, China, you're under arrest. If we boycott China, where will we get our made-in-USA goods from? There will be more inspections from the State Department. Hillary Clinton can go undercover wearing Muammar Gaddafi's hat after it's been dry-cleaned. Yeah. We'll prevent counterfeit or unsafe goods from crossing our borders, except the drugs, because America needs its drugs. That's why we're killing 41,000 Mexicans, because we need to get high. It's party time here. It's Nero's party. Except the southern border, which must remain open to let the drugs in. And this Congress should make sure that no foreign company has an advantage over American manufacturing, except the ones that Nancy Pelosi owns. Our workers are the most productive on earth. And if the playing field is level, I promise you America will always win. And one of the ways we can make it level is to give the Soviets some of our nukes so we have the same amount. And then we will all have more chocolate pudding because we were good. I also hear from many business leaders. I like it when they tell you they heard from somebody. My constituents want to know. Yeah, your constituents want to know where you're hiding. Yeah. I also hear from many business leaders who want to hire in the United States but can't find white workers with the right skills. Oh, well, why don't we shoot all the teachers and start fresh? Say no to drugs. Say no to Eric Holder, the gun runner. Growing industries in science and technologies have twice as many openings. Yes, that's inexcusable, and we know how to fix it. 90 rounds of golf eases my pain. Yeah, oh, God. You want to buy some government crutches? I want every American looking for work to have the same opportunity that I did. Join me in my national commitment to train 2 million Americans with skills like how to eat with a fork. My administration has already lined up more companies that want to help. You know, the Chinese electric company, the Chinese big oil company. Model partnerships between business like Siemens and communist community colleges in places like Charlotte, Orlando, and Louisville so they can come home and arrest their parents. We also have a 5-year farming plan, but first we have to take the farms over, starve the kulaks. Colleges make good brainwashing outlets once you promise free shit. And of course, they have to vote at the party line, otherwise they get no grants. Once we control the internet at a small tax fee in the beginning, we will raise the internet fees after we get rid of those evil dissenters. And we have other reforms, but there are opportunities and jobs today only to party members and recent poor. Does anyone out there have forgery skills? I may need a birth certificate to show an honest judge in Georgia. For less than 1% of what our nation spends / wastes on education each year, we've convinced nearly every state in the country to raise the standards for teachers and learning. The first time that's happened in a generation. They're always playing the school card. That's another one. School card and the student card, free tuition. But we must never give private school families their tax money refund to educate their children as they see fit. They have to pay. They have to pay and get no benefit. But challenges remain, and we all know how to solve them. Does anybody want any more chocolate pudding? When other countries are doubling down on education, tight budgets have forced states to lay off thousands of teachers. We know a good teacher can increase the lifetime income of a classroom by over $250,000 divided by the class. A great teacher can offer an escape from poverty to a child who dreams beyond his circumstances. The only people working in America are teachers. If all the teachers were Republicans, they would be in prison. But he bought the teachers' union with your local Social Security money. They have a pension and Exxon stock, and you have to do your best. 49% of the country needs you to pay their bills. I used to joke years ago that the phone would ring in the morning and I'd be the last man working in America, and the country would be calling to see if I went to work today. Let's start with the private ones. Teachers matter, so instead of bashing them or defending the status quo, let's offer schools a deal. Yeah, let's start with the private ones. They get better results for less money, and the kids don't have to watch a Brokeback Mountain like in the communist state schools. And that's what's going on, and your kids are being re-educated, trained to be anti-religious, and one day they're going to point you out as having a shortwave radio in your basement to the KGB. But we must never give back to the private school families their tax money refund to educate their children as they see fit. No, we can't help them. You know them. Those people. And now we're going to do something even greater. We're going to require all students to stay in high school until they graduate or turn 18. Or get married. Yeah, got married in the third grade. I call on all parents. I seen this training film. Yeah. Let me see. I call on all parents to carry the family lemons until they reach 26, but they can hook up at home in the government living room. When kids do graduate, finally, the most daunting challenge can be the cost of college. At a time when Americans owe more in tuition debt than credit card debt, this Congress needs to stop the interest rates on student loans from doubling. How about stopping the interest rates on everybody from doubling? Why students? Oh, you're buying their vote. Why didn't you tell me that? I didn't understand. Extend the tuition tax credit we started that saves middle-class families thousands of dollars. And give more young people a chance to earn their way to college by going to Occupy Wall Street University and learning how to do doo-doo on police cars. Freedom of speech, except for those who fly the flag. I understand. In California, in Oakland, the Occupy movement occupied a federal building or a state building or a city building, and they burned the American flag. And now all the communists will tell you, yes, they're just like the Tea Party. You try and burn an American flag at a Tea Party rally and see how many puncture wounds you get in your lungs. Yeah, unbelievable. They're just like the Tea Party. Yeah, give me a break. Sipping a little coffee there to stay alive, folks. When kids do graduate, the most daunting challenge can be the cost of college. Spring break is up to $10,000 a year if you don't earn any beads. The Democamos own the student vote with free shit. They come in handy with demonstrations and flag-burning ceremonies. And don't forget the free shit. More chocolate pudding, anybody? And then we can't just keep subsidizing skyrocketing tuition. We'll run out of money. What? No money? It's an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford higher education. Boy, that sounds good. Give me two scoops. From the brown shovel. Okay, and I already did tonight. There's going to be a fight. All right, so that's it. I read you that little report. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, that's not the one. What's going on here? I'm back to read the rest of the president's speech. The State of the Union. What do they call that? State of the Union. Soto from POTUS. Yeah. Well, let's remember thousands of talented, hardworking students in this country face another challenge. The fact that they aren't yet American citizens. I would love to see scenes where these guys are all talking about defending illegal invasion. And as they're talking, Mexicans and sombreros are running past them. Yeah, you know, about one every 8 seconds. Many were brought here as small children. Yeah, some came as big kids. I'm not worried about the small children. I'm not worried about the grandparents. I'm worried about those mean-looking guys with the tattoos with numbers on them. Those guys that give you the gang signs. Those are the guys I'm worried about. I mean, how much are they going to contribute? Is there any violinist there? How about a cello player? Has anybody played a cello? Yeah. Don't give us. Don't pull at our heartstrings and then stomp us to death. Get real. It's time to swing your vote. And so, many were brought here as small children, and they're American through and through. They never leave. What are you, stupid? They never leave. Why would they leave the USA? Wasn't Mohammed Atta a student? Yeah, he says they get their degree and we send them home to invent new products and create new jobs elsewhere. Yeah, like how to arm bombs. Yeah. Wasn't Mohammed Atta a student? Wasn't al-Awlaki's father a Fulbright communist? I believe as strongly as ever that we should take on illegal immigration. I need those Latino votes. Once I'm finished with them, you can have them. That's why there are fewer illegal crossings than when I took office. Yeah, many of them are still dying in the desert. Well, you know, your buddy Eric Holder killed 41,000 of them. Well, we created Boot Hill with 41,000 dead Mexicans who tried to avoid Eric Holder's gunrunners. The opponents of action are out of excuses. They should be working on comprehensive immigration reform. These are all, you know, this is like talking about your acne when you've got the Ebola virus of the leg. How about we require proof of citizenship and we start with Kenya? How about we limit the illegal invaders to 10 kilos of Chicago-bound cocaine per day? How about we put Fort Hood on the border? That is 60,000 troops that won't get murdered while standing in line by major Muslim terrorists praying while shooting. Why did the U.S. Army have to call the cops? 60,000 troops and the U.S. Army had to call the cops. That used to be a joke in the British Army during the Boer War when the guys would desert the front line and they'd say they were going to get the cops because they're killing each other out there. You want women to take a salary cut. Here we go again. When is it not the race card, it's the gender card. Wait till you see him play the Latino card. The only ones that are dealt out of a good hand are the Latino. He's already killed 41,000 of them. With 2,000 guns that backfired on the DNC plan to destroy the Second Amendment. After all, innovation is what America has always been all about. Most new jobs are created in startups and small business, which every day I harass and destroy. So let's pass an agenda that helps them succeed. Yeah, let's put cameras in waitresses' aprons to account for tip money not being declared. They don't need food. They can have the leftovers. Tear down regulations that prevent aspiring entrepreneurs from getting the finance to grow. Yeah, just tell the banks we'll label them racist if they don't cough up to our goons. Expand a tax relief to small businesses that are raising wages and creating good jobs. Both parties agree on these ideas. So put them in a bill and get them on my desk this year. And after golf, I'll maybe sign one. After we wipe them out, give them a one-time write-off of 15 cents. Today, the discovery is taking place in our federally financed labs and universities. Yes, like the shrimp getting a walk, doing a walkathon, could lead to new treatments that kill cancer cells. How about the cancer cell in my checkbook? But leave healthy ones untouched. New lightweight vests for cops and soldiers that can stop any bullet. But don't do the back, because we like to shoot them in the back. Why would we need them? You said the war is over. Don't cut these investments in our budget. Don't let other countries win the race of the future. But nobody must go to the moon. The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. And give the bill to that guy who's still working. Let us give the Russians missile superiority, and they will protect us. Let support the same kind of research and innovation that led to the computer chip and the potato chip. Yeah, and hacking of Pentagon defense secrets by the Chinese and the internet. To new American jobs and new American industries like GE China, where they make the good light bulbs that you can't have, that are only 89 cents, and in China, they're a penny. Nowhere is the promise of innovation greater than in American-made energy, as long as it's not oil, which I'll destroy within a year. Over the last 3 years, we've opened millions of new acres for oil and gas exploration, and tonight I'm directing my orchestra to open more than 75% of our potential offshore oil and gas resources, except the American ones, because we don't need it. China needs the oil. They're a growing economy. It can't be in the South, because I hate the South more than I hate Winston Churchill. And right now, American oil production is the highest it's been in 8 years. I even bought a quart last night. That's right, 8 years. I have nothing to do with China, Cuba, and North Korea drilling off the Gulf Coast for the free American oil. And if they want to charge you for it, that's their right. But with only 2% of the world's oil reserves, oil isn't enough. As soon as I can, I will squash those Americans in North Dakota making $80,000 to $100,000 a year. That oil is not to be drilled. That goes for Montana, too. The country needs an all-out, all of the above strategy to destroy American independence that develops every available source of American energy, like butter. We can run cars on butter. And don't forget the old ginger snap. A strategy that's cleaner, cheaper, and full of new jobs. Like bale toter on a barge. Yeah, we have a supply of natural gas that can last America nearly 100 years, but you'll never see it. And my administration will take every possible action to make sure that you never see it. We will pretend to care as gasoline goes to $8 a gallon. Experts believe this will support more than 600,000 jobs by the end of the decade. You notice this guy is always 5 or 10 years out. He'll be well secluded when the lynch mob comes. He'll have had a head start. Let me take a quick break. I'll throw some music at you. This one goes out to the troops who got screwed over by the Obama administration and stabbed in the back and arrested when they came off the airport, the tarmac in the United States. To all the guys that are rotting away in prison, uncovered by the press, may the Lord have mercy on your soul and bring you to eternal life tomorrow. Freedom and life.
Did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, baby, come home to me.
Did dot did it, dot it,
I sent my baby a telegram asking to a big dot man.
Back home to me.
da did dot did it did it did dot did it did dot did it did dot did did dot did it did it did dot did baby come home to me did dot did it did dot.
Okay, we're back. Let's see where we are. I love the promise of 5 to 10 years out. The suckers eat it up. Did you hear I saved 10 million jobs? They bit down hard on that lie. So, I'm requiring that oil companies that drill for gas on public lands to disclose the chemicals they use. And I'm sure we can find one, like matzo juice, that will disqualify them from allowing them to drill. And then we can send them form 11897Q98 revised 26756. This 675-page short form must be filled out before my EPA goon blows the whistle. America will develop this resource without putting the health and safety of our citizens at risk. You know what puts citizens at risk? Drugs. 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie and a government slave. Junkies always vote Democamo. That is why the government keeps them high. Let's not forget rehab. That's another good business. Self-inflicted wounds treated by the inflictor with a side order of AIDS. You really think this border is open, to be fair, to illegal immigrants? What are you, crazy? This border is open to fill the drug pipeline demand of the Joneses. The Democamos could care less about Mexicans. First, they hate them for serving in the military. Then they hate them for having too many niños. Then they try to talk them into killing their own children, calling it birth control. It is really Mexican control. If they find out you're not voting their way, they turn you in and blame the Republicans. The development of natural gas will create jobs in power trucks and factories that are cheaper and cleaner, proving we don't have to choose between the environment. Gas companies have been running trucks on natural gas for 30 years. 30 years ago, the Democamo said it would take 10 years to be oil independent. 20 years ago, they said it would take 10 years. 10 years ago, they said it would take 10 years. And yesterday, Rambo Obama said it will take 10 years. And then he killed Keystone and gave Canadian oil to the Chinese. I hope he's not sending our bust of Celine Dion back to Montreal. What's true for natural gas is true for clean energy. In 3 years, our partnership with the private sector, government is not a partner of the private sector. Government is the enemy of the private sector. So, our partnership with the private sector, those who pay under the table, has already positioned America to be the world's leading manufacturer of high-tech batteries until the Chinese get to the patent office or the company computer. We're nothing, man. We're nothing. We can't keep anything. We even invested in a chocolate pudding factory. There's plenty of chocolate pudding to go around. When Brian Ritterby was laid off from his job making furniture because our EPA fined the company out of business, he said he worried that at 55 no one would give him a second chance. He found work at Energex, a wind turbine manufacturer in Michigan. At Energex, you better get ready for a big shock. The Chinese are making them for less money. I got a buddy that ships all over the world. 10 years ago, we were shipping wind turbines to Holland. And I called him up the other day and I said, how's that wind turbine business? He says, it lost it a long time ago. The Chinese took all the business. The only wind turbine not made in China is the one that powers Henry Waxman, the baseball inquisitor. Before the recession, the factory only made luxury yachts, but we taxed that industry with a luxury yacht tax, and we wiped it out. It's the same tax that we put on toilet paper, and we wiped that right out, too. Today, it's hiring workers like Brian. Remember when they told you to do away with paper bags and replace them with plastic? Now they're telling you to do away with the plastic bags, bring back the paper? These people are crazy. They're crazy. You listen to them, you'll go nuts. It's hiring workers like Brian who said, I'm proud to be working in the industry of the future. Hey, Brian, you better become a cello player. And then he was laid off right after when the camera crew left. Our experience with shale gas shows us that the profits of these public investments don't always come right away. Next week, we expect to get our first dividend on off-track betting. Some technologies don't pan out. Some companies fail, like the Democamo Party. But we are being subsidized by Cuban sugar. Yeah. But I will not walk away from the promise of clean energy. I will not walk away from the workers like Brian. What do you mean? It's not a footprint on his back. I will not cede the wind or solar or battery industry to China or Germany. Oh no, what are you going to do, work 24 hours a day? Going to work for $2 a month? Hardly. Hardly. That's for peasants. Because we refuse to make the same commitment here. Oh, they are gone already? We can't deliver? The Chinese own all the cargo ships? Their freight costs are half of ours? And they're making 100% more in profits. We have subsidized oil companies for a century, and all we have to show for it is Exxon stock, which has split 16 times from the first day it was issued at $1.13 a share. Today it is worth $87.24 a share, and more Americans own Exxon stock than any others. So when he talks about hitting Exxon, he's hitting you. You are Exxon. You just didn't realize it because they told you a lie. And that's long enough. It's time to end the taxpayer giveaways to an industry. But I'm going to give money to the movie industry because they're making a movie about me. I'm going to be a SEAL. I'm going to play a SEAL in Killing Bin Laden, where I rope down and I'm the first one in the door. And I overpower the women. More Americans own Exxon stock than any other. And it's time to end the taxpayer giveaways to an industry. It is time to seize that industry, like my buddy Hugo Chavez did to Citgo. Took the profits and bought $1 billion worth of Russian-Chinese AK-47s to protect his people's anthill. That really has been more profitable. And double down on clean energy. We can build a train that runs on chocolate pudding from San Francisco to San Francisco. That's never been more promising. Then I have a picture of a polar bear standing on one little piece of ice. And hi, guys, I'm the only polar bear left, and this is the last piece of ice. You better send Al Gore more money. So let me take a break, and we will come back. Okay, we're almost down to the end of the Pretender to the Throne speech. He doesn't have proof of citizenship. Nobody is convincing me. We're getting a glossy, glossed over version. And now in Georgia, they want to see his papers. Yeah, so let's go back. So far, you haven't acted well tonight. I will. I'm directing my administration to allow the development of clean energy on enough public land to power 3 million homes, which we stole from the Indians. And I'm proud to announce that the Department of Defense, the world's largest consumer of energy, will make one of the largest commitments to clean energy in history, with the Navy purchasing enough capacity to power 250,000 homes a year. It's all nuclear. Of course, the easiest way to save money is to waste less energy. So here's another proposal. Everybody turn down their thermostats to 9 degrees, except Florida. Florida can turn the AC on when it goes over 125. And that will save Social Security. We will also send our EPA spies and OSHA checkers and fine every manufacturer out of business and give incentives to ACLU lawyers. Their energy bills will be $100 billion lower over the next decade. I pulled that figure right out of my head. And America will have less tuition of pollution. More manufacturing and more jobs are for reconstruction workers who need them, but not the white guys. Robert Third Reich says no jobs for white construction workers, and I give you a YouTube address where you can hear that speech. You'll get a kick out of that one, especially if you're a white construction worker. Building this new energy future should be just one part of a broader agenda to repair America's infrastructure, which my party has destroyed, and we've blamed it on the Repuppies. And a power grid that wastes too much energy, an incomplete high-speed broadband network that prevents a small business owner in rural America from selling her products all over the world. Once we find out who she is, we'll put her out of business also. During the Great Depression, America built the Hoover Dam. I was part of the greatest generation. I got Osama bin Laden. Next week, we're all going to have chocolate pudding. But you need to fund these projects and take the money. We'll use that Social Security money. They don't need it. Did I tell you a no more war? No more Gitmo? I freed my brothers. We're going to retrain them as toll takers on the bridges and the tunnels. And they've even offered to pay the tolls. There's never been a better time to build since the construction industry won us the hardest hit when the housing bubble burst. We destroyed the American dream. And while government can't fix the problem on its own until we seize all the assets, responsible homeowners shouldn't have to sit and wait for the housing market to hit bottom to get some relief. That is why I'm sending Congress a plan this year that gives every responsible homeowner the chance to save about $3,000 a year on their mortgage. Of course, the taxes on the home are going up $4,000 a year. No more red tape. This guy is big on red tape. That's the new crime scene look, red tape. No more run around from the banks, oh, those dirty banks. After I seize Exxon, the banks are next. Should I get a crown? A small fee on the largest financial institution will ensure that it won't add to the deficit. The banks will pass the small fee on to the small guy, and you can write your Congress mouse. Never forget millions of Americans who work hard and play by the rules every day, like coming into the country illegally, deserve a government and a financial system to do the same. It's time to apply the same rules from top to bottom, except for me and Henry Waxjob. No bailouts, no handouts, and no cop-outs, and no arrests for Occupy America. You left out the words, and this is a stick-up. Well, we've all paid the price for lenders who sold mortgages to people who couldn't afford them, except I got a great deal in Chicago from Tony Resco. He paid more than sold it to me for less. He's in jail now, next to a seat seller from the body. That is why we need smart regulations, no more dumb regulations, to prevent irresponsible behavior. like Hillary Clinton not sending the Hamas money right back, and her brother returning a drug money 50 grand short. He didn't even have a refrigerator like we all have for bribes. Keep that cash cold. Rules to prevent financial fraud or toxic dumping. The biggest toxic dump is in the Senate. Or faulty medical devices like the Democratic pro-choice breathing tube that stopped Terry Schiavo. Don't destroy the free market. They make the free market work better. There is no question that some of the regulations are outdated. Like, why should we wait 4 years to get rid of toxic waste? In fact, I've approved fewer regulations, like approving citizenship. And just a fraction of them will save business and citizens more than $10 billion. Imagination is funny. It makes a cloudy day sunny. My library will be full of money. Unbelievable. This guy throws numbers around like they're the names of friends of the family. I guess it was worth crying over spilt milk because milk was somehow classified as an oil. How about $5 million for every vet who died without an act of war instead of faking crying over spilt milk? How about crying over spilt blood and treasure, which should not even be listed in the same sentence? I'm confident a farmer can contain a milk spill without a federal agency looking over his shoulder. But I will not back down from making sure an oil company can contain the oil spill we saw in the Gulf 2 years ago. We made good money on BP, including champagne contributions. You know they donated to my new re-election? Yes, I wonder why they did that. We learned that what we can do to oil companies, we can do to everybody. We have new rules for those farm jerks also. Abortion is a different issue. I will not back down from protecting our kids from mercury pollution. Just think about the money we save on school lunches with abortion. Now your government will do it. But we will have better excuses. There is nothing you can do about it when we get finished. There won't be a Catholic hospital or nursing home left. They will have to follow our amendments to the Ten Commandments. And I will go back to the days when Wall Street was allowed to play in it by its own set of rules. When we send our bagmen around, we want Baba Black Sheep Wool. And the new rules we passed, getting funding to entrepreneurs with the best ideas, getting loans to responsible families who want to buy a home and start a business. Well, this will be done by your government while we brainwash your children in communist cucumber schools. Can you cut sugar cane? We may have to send you to Cuba for training. So if you're a big bank financial institution and you're no longer allowed to make risky bets with your customers' deposits, what a bunch of crap, what a lie. Banks never make anything risky. They don't take risk, banks. Leave it up to the biggest crime family in America, the Causa Democamo. You're required to write out a living will, and that details exactly how you'll pay the bills if you fail. The beneficiary will be your government, who looks out for you and watches over you. Because the rest of us aren't bailing you out ever again. More food stamps, anybody? And if you're a mortgage lender or a payday lender or a credit card company, the days of signing people up for products they can't afford with confusing forms like the discrimination form. Would you fill out that discrimination form, please? Today, American consumers finally have a watchdog in Richard Cordray, just back from serving 2 to 5 in federal Congress prison, with one job, to look out for them. We will also establish a financial crimes unit. This guy is establishing all kinds of committees and units and agencies, and they're doing it for a small commission. And don't forget, we protect those who pay. And tonight, I'm asking my Attorney General and his secret police to arrest Arizona, Alabama, and South Carolina, and to create a special unit, another unit of federal prosecutors and leading state attorneys general, to expand our investigations into people who pray. And if you thought it was hard getting a mortgage before, wait till we start shaking down the banks with fines. They will be kicking back and singing Down on the Levee. A return to American values. We are never paying down this debt. This debt is on your grandchildren, who will never know what freedom was like. Right now, our most immediate priority is stopping a tax hike on 160 million working Americans. People cannot afford $40 out of each paycheck this year. There are plenty of ways to get this done. We'll just put a few bucks on everything you buy. You'll never feel it. So, having said that, I am going to say this case is closed. I have made your head and eyes heavy. Let me wake you up with a tune. This tune we dedicate to Rick Santorum's daughter Bella and all the little Bellas out there, and to all the GIs who are rotten in prison under false charges brought down upon them by the ACLU Pentagon. Hang in there. God is keeping you in his heart and mind, and you'll be all right.
Help me know you are near.
Veterans Day, and thank you for your sacrifice, be it war or peace. You paid your dues and you gave it your all. God bless you, and thank you. You saved my family's life. Whether you did it 100 years ago or you did it yesterday. So, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. And the tune I just played for you is called Dixieland, and it's by a guy named Steve Earle, and it's about an Irishman who comes to the United States just in time to be thrown on the front lines. And apparently there is a Civil War hero that many people don't know about, including me, and his name was Joshua Chamberlain. And if you Google it, I think you'll go for an exciting venture and see how many unsung heroes we have that we don't even know about. And I dedicate this show to Uncle Jack, who served on Iwo Jima with the Marines. And when he died, he left money for a party. And that after the funeral service, everybody went to the pub and hoisted a few, and that's the way he wanted it. He was a good man. He married and loved only one woman, and he lost her, and he raised his four children as a bachelor father. And he never married again,
And he never talked about Iwo Jima. But you could see that if you saw anybody that fought with the Marines in the Pacific, they have an aura about them. So, here's to all you guys out there who, especially the guys who came back from Nam that got spit on at the airport. We let you down. You never let us down. Hallelujah. There is a picture of Obama on the internet where he's standing on a campaign, a platform out in an open field, and they're playing the Star Spangled Banner. And he's got his hand on his balls. Everybody else has got their hand over their heart. And that's all I need to see to know what kind of a liar Obama is. And that Congressman Joe, what's his name, that called him a liar, should do it again. And add to it, I was right the first time. You are a liar. And this time, don't apologize. So, I'm going to play for you with the tune that Obama dissed. Okay? It's called, you may not remember it because they're trying to remove it from all of the communist cucumber schools. It's called the Star Spangled Banner. And I apologize for the scratches in the record. But just think about this. This is a vinyl record, and it was made by the original cast of World War II. There's 47 scratches in this record, and each one represents 8,000 Americans who died so that you and I could complain about secondhand smoke and salt on the restaurant table. Guess you've heard about the scandal at Penn State University. You don't think that's the only university that's got a problem, do you? You don't think that only the Catholic Church has the homosexual pedophile priest scandal. You don't think that other schools are jam tight and jelly free. This is a deep-rooted problem. We're losing our country and we're losing our God. and we're all going to be in trouble one day. And if you don't think that homosexual child abuse is just a fad, just remember when you were 10 years old and how vulnerable you were. And the only reason that you were never abused is somebody was watching out for you instead of laying in wait for you. Well, the sad news today is that the Demo Camo Royal Repuppy rape of Herman Cain in the communist media has cost Herman about 10% of the support of his woman voters. When it becomes obvious that he is falsely accused, he will get half of those votes back. The good news is he is picking up 20% of the black vote, which he never would have gotten because this white CNN media lynching turned off black Obama supporters who realized that they have seen these false accusations before. Nigel Innes from the Congress of Racial Equality describes it as the Mandingo Syndrome. You have to give credit to Herman. He soldiered on and up, above the fray. If you check the past history of the political bimbos, you can see a greedy pattern there. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's votes. Which brings me to the crisis of God and his laws, which are being erased by atheistic communists who hold office throughout the land. From judges who legislate from the bench to federal attorneys who crucified Jesus. That's Jesus Diaz, or Jesus Diaz. The border guard, whose family was destroyed this past week, their assets seized under orders from the Mexican drug lords, who are supported with guns by Eric Holder, led by the example of George Bush, who would not pardon border guards Ramos and Campion, forcing those good men to sell their homes for legal fees. And here we go again. Obama will never pardon Jesus Diaz. Ergo, Congress must act to force the complete acquittal of Jesus. It must be done immediately to prevent further heartache to the innocent victims of this phony Department of Justice and Drug Runner Protective Agency. And speaking of Jesus, Harvard and Yale were once both divinity schools, blessing the nation with deeply religious patriots like Nathan Hale. We must turn back to God and ask him to help us regain the three American gifts he gave us: patriotism, spirituality, and morality. I would like to see religious people entering politics, especially priests, nuns, rabbis, ministers, not fake ones, and imams who preach love over jihad, not fakirs. We must put God back on his throne in our land. To deny him is to self-destruct. On this Veterans Day, where American crosses dot many lands and forgotten islands, let us thank God. He is always there to console us. And today I wear my red, white, and blue cross. God and country are forever, and we all need to come home. Do you remember when the military failed to close the perimeter around Tora Bora, and they relied on the Pakistanis to patrol one area, and that was the area that Osama bin Laden escaped through. And can you believe that it took us 5 years to find out where he was when he was having lunch at the Pakistani base every day? I'm making that up. That we don't know if he did that or not. He probably ate at home. He probably got pizzas delivered to the house. But do you remember the Bush administration telling us he wasn't that important? When I heard that, I just shook my head. And then, of course, Bush had a mandate to get bin Laden. He could have done anything. He could have nuked Pakistan to get him. Of course, the Democrats would have called for hearings. But instead, we were told, we were brainwashed, that Bin Laden wasn't that important. It was the mission that was more important, getting Al-Qaeda. But anyway, I wonder who made up the expression, I got a frog in my throat. But anyway, it was Obama Bin Laden who got Osama Bin Laden. And he immediately took full credit for it. And he also took credit for the war on one-gun Gaddafi. Yeah. And you know how Muammar ended up in a very unpleasant position with certain things inserted in certain places. But you didn't see that on TV. I thought maybe Brad Pitt would play Muammar Gaddafi. He came out today and he reminded everybody that the poor people are struggling. And I said, hey, Brad, you know what you do? Why don't you take the royalties from your last movie and donate it to charity? Where did Brad go? Yeah, I love it, man. All these Hollywood freaks. And there's Brad Pitt. He's a good-looking guy. And it's the only job in the world where you get to play a man. You can get to play a real man, you know? Here's Brad Pitt, he's in the movie where he's in love with an Indian girl and everybody does him wrong and he's out there fighting grizzly bears. Yep. And Matt Damon, you know, another one. All these Hollywood lefties, they are lefties. They're so far left. What's happening here? These guys are so far left that when they go to a square dance, the only way they can dance is if the caller says, everybody circle to the left. Today, you want to make a Hollywood movie, you got to have a vampire. Hollywood puts out a lot of crap. You get maybe one good movie a year. All the rest is garbage. And you know what? It's all from the same swill pot. If you want to make a Hollywood movie today, here's what you need. You need a vampire. You need a nymphomaniac. You need a dumb cop. You need an army general that's in a uniform two sizes too small. You need a you got to do the drugs. You have to do drug commercials throughout the entire movie. You got to shoot the heroin. You got to snort the horse. You got to suck on the weed. I mean, this is, you know, kids used to buy popcorn. Pretty soon they're going to come out of the theater. They're going to go to the candy stand, and all it's going to be there is methamphetamines, marijuana, medical marijuana for those guys with glaucoma. Yeah, give me a break. We're a nation of drug addicts. There's no good movies. There's nothing. They have to take something. Even in Broadway, they're doing Broadway shows from 30, 40 years ago. Because there's no creativity left in America. There's no imagination left. All we got are a bunch of zombie minds. You think about it. What was the last thing that got invented in the United States? Absolutely ridiculous. We're all vegetables, walking vegetables. You go out in the street and pick five school kids and ask them to name the Great Lakes. See what they tell you. They'll probably tell you, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And, of course, poor Perry, he couldn't remember the third thing he wanted to close. That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. And he said, help me out, guys. They could have told him anything. Disneyland, he would have said it. I'm digressing too much. Let me switch back to my tribute to the veterans.
Thinking of George Patton, and I ask myself how Tommy Franks could walk off a battlefield in the middle of a war. And somebody said, well, that's the policy in the Pentagon today. They don't want one general getting too popular. He's liable to overthrow the country. Yeah, I believe that. I do. I believe there's thinking that runs amok in Washington. Washington, as a matter of fact, as soon as the war began against Al-Qaeda, we should have hit Washington first ourselves and at least gotten the 48 Democrats who voted to burn the flag. So I'm doing some research on George Patton, and to see what kind of a person he was, you know, little notes that he might have left behind. And you might say he was another a Sherman. And isn't it funny that the first tanker we had, we named after Sherman. And then we named the next one after Patton. And I found out there's a guy who named an orchid, a British, horticulturist, that bred an orchid. And he first named it after Joseph Stalin. But then when he found out what a butcher Stalin was, he went to the Horticultural Society and asked them to change the name of his orchid to Patton, in honor of George Patton. And for the first time in history, the society let him do it. One of the things I found out about Patton was he was a little bit of a poet. And he wrote a poem, and I printed it out, and I'm going to read it to you. If you ever saw the movie Patton, you will remember that when he was in North Africa, he told the driver to pull over to the seaside, and I think he was somewhere in ancient Carthage, and he said, "I've been here before." You know, and it was sort of eerie and uncanny. So I ran across this poem, and it sort of elaborates or embellishes what his thoughts were when he made that statement. And the name of the poem is "Through a Glass Darkly" by General George S. Patton, Jr. Did you know he was thrown out of West Point? Because he failed a test? Him and another guy. Do you know that a guy saved his life in World War I? And the same guy led a march on Washington and for bonuses for the troops, and they were driven off out of Washington by MacArthur and Patton. I didn't know Patton was involved in that. It's ironic. So this guy really traveled through time. And here's "Through a Glass Darkly." Through the travail of the ages, midst the pomp and toil of war, have I fought and strove and perished countless times upon this star, in the form of many people, in all panoplies of time, have I seen the luring vision of the victory made sublime. I have battled for fresh mammoth. I have warred for pastures new. I have listened to the whispers when the race trek instinct grew. I have known the call to battle in each changeless, changing shape, from the high-souled voice of conscience to the beastly lust for rape. I have sinned and I have suffered, played the hero and the knave, fought for belly, shame, or country, and for each have found the grave. I cannot name my battles, for the visions are not clear. Yes, yet I see the twisted faces, and I feel the rending spear. Next one's a rocker. Perhaps I stabbed our Savior in his sacred helpless side, yet I've called his name in blessing when after times I died. In the dimness of the shadows where we hairy heathens warred, I can taste in thought the lifeblood. We use teeth before the sword. He says in his memoirs that any man who thinks that the war that they are fighting will be the war that ends all wars is a fool, and that wars have been fought since 2500 B.C. While in later, clearer vision, I can sense the coppery sweat, feel the pikes grow wet and slippery when our phalanx, Cyrus, met. So he's talking about battling with the Persian king. Hear the rattle of the harness, where the Persian darts bounced clear. See the chariots wheel in panic, from the hoplite's leveled spear. See the goal grow monthly longer, reaching for the walls of Tyre. Hear the crash of tons and granite. Smell the quenchless eastern fire. Still more clearly as a Roman can I see the legion close, Still more clearly as a Roman can I see the legion close, as our third rank moved in forward, and the short sword found our foes. The Roman soldiers had a short sword, and they found it less cumbersome in close hand-to-hand combat. And it was one of their secrets, military battle secrets at the time. Once again, I feel the anguish of what blistering a treeless... Let me do that again. Once again, I feel the anguish of that blistering treeless plain when the Parthian showered death bolts and our discipline was in vain. I remember all the suffering of those arrows in my neck, yet I stabbed a grinning savage as I died upon my back. Once again I smell the heat sparks when my Flemish plate gave way, and the lance ripped through my entrails as on Crecy's field I lay. In the windless blinding stillness of the glittering tropic sea, I can see the bubbles rising when we set the captives free. Like the spume of health of half a tempest, I have heard the bulwarks go, when the crashing point-blank round shot sent destruction to our foe. I have fought with gun and cutlass on the red and slippery deck, with all hell aflame within me and a rope around my neck. And still later as a general have I galloped with Murat, when we laughed at death and numbers, trusting in the Emperor's star. Till at last our star faded, and we shouted in our doom, when the sunken road of Ohain closed us in its quivering gloom. So but now with tanks a-clatter have I waddled on the foe, belching death at 20 paces by the star shell's ghastly glow. So as through a glass and darkly the age-long strife I see, where I fought in many guises, many names, but always me. And I see not in my blindness what the objects were I wrought, but as God rules o'er our bickerings, it was through his will I fought. So forever in the future shall I battle as of yore, dying to be born a fighter, but to die again once more. Not bad, huh? Not bad for a general. Not bad for a man. Talk to you. Give you a little music.
I'm
Hiya, boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet, and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning.
It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on, we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie. Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn? There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back, if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit.
And I think that when you look at 911, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.